Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and his son, Zach, thank you for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and your support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. We want to be your daily encouragement to help you help others for your life, your love, your faith, and your family. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, won't you? And join us on social media for more fresh content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Our guests today are two incredible individuals who live, love, and lead so well. And what I love about our guests is although God has entrusted them with an incredible platform that has a lot of influence, this married couple is full of grace, humility, and finds no greater joy than deflecting the honor and glory onto the Lord Himself. Joining us today are Grant and Maddie Trout. And my friends, this conversation is for everyone, as we're going to be talking about how we can find true joy and satisfaction no matter the season and no matter your relationship status. But then we're also going to dive deep into the gift of marriage and really reflect on some strategies that can help couples love well or even turn their love around. So with that being said, let's welcome our special guests. Grant and Maddie, thank you both so much for joining us today.
It's good to be here, Zach.
Feels right. It feels right.
You guys, hey, Grant has blessed our listeners several times now. This is his third time joining us back. I'm grateful that he brought Maddie to join us today, and we're going to be diving
better
into
half.
Come on, better half is here. Let's go, you guys.
The third, it just feels like complete. The third one with the better half.
No coincidence.
Yeah, she's good.
I'm so excited, you guys, to dive into just the conversation today about how we can find satisfaction no matter the season of life, no matter our relationship status, but also we're going to be diving into and really taking a deep dive into the gift of marriage and really understanding how we can live, love, and lead more effectively together. You guys just celebrated your one-year anniversary this past November. Everybody always says the first year's the hardest. So I got to ask up front, why do you guys think that people say that? But also, what was year one like for you guys?
You go first. Listen, you want the honest answer?
Honest.
I know why people say it's the hardest. I'll just start off by saying that.
We do know.
We know.
We understand.
I think I said this on the second one, but we, 7 days after we got married, we kind of dropped our life into a new city, new job, and just a lot of new. And we had only known each other for kind of a cumulative 10 months before this moment. Mm. And so, you know, we dated for seven, got engaged, and then got married in three. Mm. And so we're sitting in this new spot. And I think we're just learning everything there is to know about someone, because when you date God's way, like especially when you're dating God's way, there's just boundaries you keep up. And then all of a sudden, one day you drop off in a house and it's like, free game.
Come on.
Everything goes.
Yeah.
And in the beauty of all that, no one's ever been this close to me. Mm. No, you know, I've always had the kind of good night or I'm feeling sick. I've always been able to distance myself. Now there's someone near all the time.
Seeing the good, the bad, the ugly, the
right?
up close,
that's right.
Everything.
So I think just in the midst of that, it's like when the ugly and the bad starts to rise that I thought the Lord had already dealt with. I now have this godly woman by my side calling it out.
Yeah.
And she's like, hold on, Grant. No, if we're gonna live like God's called us to, and she's exposing something. And I think for us, when you have two passionate, fiery, just energetic people, you can have these kind of moments where marriage brings out this sort of like, it's not a fear. It's just like, oh, this is all so new. And so I would just say, yes, it's been hard. But I think we hit something on our 6 month kind of just anniversary date
breakthrough
where something happened.
Six months married, something switched.
Zach, I'm sure you know this, but like we just figured out what are we fighting about?
Yeah.
Like what are we actually arguing about? And people can tell you that all day long, but you have to experience it. And we went on a little vacation for our 6 month anniversary and we went through these questions and our mentors had given them to us. And the question said, hey, when you respond or when you receive this, you cannot respond. Mm. And so you just have to sit and listen. And we had these moments where we were super vulnerable, super honest. Hey, how do you think I'm doing at being a godly husband? Mm. Go. I can't respond until she says.
So I get to get it all off my chest, Zach. I get to tell it like it is. And he just has to sit there.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
And so I would just say.
But it was a game changer. It was huge for us.
We learned to communicate. Mm. I think that was the first moment where I was like, I need to listen more. Mm-hmm. And I need to receive more. It's not about how I feel that I'm doing. How is she receiving it?
Yeah.
Because however I think I'm right or however I think I'm doing, it truly doesn't matter if she's not receiving love.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, amen to all that. I think that, you know, we always say relationships reveal. They reveal the best parts of you, the worst parts of you. And when you are doing relationships God's way in dating, like for me, one of the biggest switches I had to have in my mind was that in dating, you know, we're of course pursuing purity. We have all of these boundaries, but I also have this mindset of, you know, he's got to pursue me. He's got to prove like he's, you know, he's got to get my attention, all this stuff. And then you get married and now it's like, oh, I got to die to myself. I got to serve him. Mm. I got to submit under his leadership. And it was just a big mind shift and switch for me. And that was really tough at first. Like there was some, I think for me, some gender roles and just God's original design for marriage that I honestly struggled with at the beginning because I was selfish and I was used to leading myself. And it was really hard to come under someone else's leadership and trust that. There's also just the like leaving and cleaving of your family and everything you had been loyal to your whole life. And now being like, we're starting our own family. Mm. And the amount of times he had to be like, hey, we're family number one,
that's right.
You know, like this is family number one. He had to remind me that often. And so I would say those were kind of two of the biggest adjustments, at least on my end. But yeah, I agree. That 6 month trip, just those questions. He kind of touched on this, but James 1:19 speaks to, you know, being slow to speak and quick to listen, slow to get angry. And I feel like that was really the start of that for us of like, hey, we can't keep fighting to win and to be right and to out, you know, to win against each other. Like winning is coming together and being united and just reminding each other, you know, that cheesy saying of like, we're on the same team.
Yes.
As cheesy and common as it is, it you have to continue to remind yourself of that often. It's like, oh yeah, like you're for me. And, you know, we are on the same team and we are one. And so I feel like that was kind of a big shift for us 6 months. 6 months in. And then the last 6 months, they've been so good.
It's been so good, man.
I mean, it's been about 8 or 9 months now, I guess.
Yeah. And what I would say is like, what we learned is that hard isn't bad.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's just hard. And like, I think what we thought, we're like, what's going wrong? What are we doing wrong? And it's like, it's just hard, but it's beautiful. And what I would take this time to encourage anybody, we tell all of our friends now, leave and cleave.
Yeah.
Like maybe for the first year, year and a half, like what we've seen God do by getting away and only having each other and building community out of that has been so healing and just strengthening and forging. Because the Bible says, Genesis 2, it's like a man and a woman shall leave their father and mother and the two shall become one.
Yeah.
So there's this definite leaving and then cleaving to one another. That was God's design, and it's been super healthy for us.
Totally.
Wow, you guys, it's amazing to hear. You both are insinuating. I love what you mentioned, Maddie. Relationships, marriage especially, does not fix things. It only reveals or exploits those things, right? And it exploits all of them to the surface. We all go through the challenges of trying to collaborate two very different people, different upbringings, different families into one, right? And when you talk about leave and cleave, how important that is, because then God can bring about some great works in and throughout you and your relationship. I see the imagery. I was reminded a couple of weeks ago when it comes to families, when it comes to marriage, when I do work in the mental health space, what you guys are saying, oftentimes we can find ourselves on both ends of the tug of war rope, but recognizing that we're not called to fight nose to nose, but rather back to back. We should both be on the same side of that rope fighting against the challenges that come up and try to rob us of the grace and the goodness that we can find in our relationships. So I love just the start that you guys have brought us out on. And the second thing I want to ask then is diving into this 6 month kind of occurrence where you guys had to be real honest and real humble to receive influence from one another. Let me ask, you know, vulnerability is so key in relationships. Grant, I've heard you share on a previous podcast just that you were very open. You were very vulnerable with Maddie, even on after that first date, and you got kind of expressed some challenges, right, that you were going through in your own personal life. You set the bar like, this is our expectation. We're going to have fun, but we're also going to go deep into these deep depths of places. How important is vulnerability in your guys' relationship, and how important is it to effectively and efficiently communicate expectations?
You're better at it than me, so you go.
You're growing in this, so here's your opportunity.
Zach, I'm growing.
Hey, let me tell you, when I met this woman, she didn't know the word vulnerability.
I mean, vulnerability was terrifying.
Bars over that heart.
Yeah. Yes.
And she needed a sensitive, romantic man to come into her life.
I did.
Now, you've honestly grown so much in this, and I'm so proud of you in this. Yeah. And so.
Well, thank you. Emotions were really scary for me. I had experienced rejection. I had been hurt. I had eyes on me. I had been let down, you know, all kinds of different things that just created a hardened heart that it was really hard for me to let people in and even be honest, like fully with myself. It wasn't even like I was, you know, holding all these secrets back. It just was like, I had a hard time even, you know, owning what I really felt. But he has helped me so much in that. So yeah, you answered it.
It's really important. It's really important because one thing that we started to see in marriage is like, if she was going through something, she wouldn't always let me in early.
Yeah.
And so she would kind of reach this moment where either things would just come out of nowhere. And I'm like, hey, how long? You know, how long was that in there? And what we're seeing is like, man, God designed us to become one.
Yeah.
And so like now we operate as one. And so I want to know what's in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pointing to my head and my heart. If you're listening, like, I want to know your thoughts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what we've also discovered is sometimes it's helpful to kind of wrestle those out either with the Lord or with girl community or with guy community.
Yeah.
In my case, sometimes it's not always helpful to go with just the raw thoughts to each other.
We also learned that.
But if we're going to be one, I want to know what's on your heart. I want to know if you cried in the shower. Like, don't hide that from me. Like, I want to be there for you. I'm called to love you as Christ loved the church. So I've got to know. I've got to know how I can love you. And she's really good at kind of giving like feedback. Like, Grant, here's what I need.
Yeah.
But what was missing was, here's what my heart is actually feeling.
Yeah.
And so when I started to understand, okay, here's what you're feeling. Here's what you need. Now I can try and just like meet that the best way I can.
Yeah.
The way she's really helped me in this is I'm a feeler. And so I feel things really deeply. Mm-hmm. She's been the greatest soundboard. She's like, Grant, just what's going on? What are you feeling? And I'll tell her and she'll go, okay, I hear that, but here's what truth says.
Mm-hmm.
And so she hears me. She doesn't, what she used to do was just go, hey, here's what truth is.
Right.
And she'd hit it really hard. And I'm like, hey, I can't receive that. I feel like you're belittling my emotions. And she's learned to go, I get that. That's the way God made you. And that is a strength of yours, Grant. But if you let that sit too long in your mind, here's what the enemy's going to do. Here's the truth of God's word. And we've seen vulnerability in our own lives build this like strength within us.
Yeah. And emotions are connectors, you know, it's what connects us with people. And so when we shut those off, I think, you know, it keeps our connection from being what it can be. Mm-hmm. And I know for, you know, the longest time I was really afraid of letting people in, but it's like in the reality with my spouse and with people in general, but like, especially in the context of marriage, like I do want him to see my heart. And I think my defense mechanism is, you know, if he's hurt me in some way, is to react out of defense and anger and to point fingers rather than to actually be like, hey, I feel unwanted right now. Or hey, I feel afraid right now. Or I feel lonely right now. It's a lot easier for me to be like, if you would have just, and I'm working on that, but he has been, just the Holy Spirit and then him have been so patient with me. But we always joke, you know, he's the grace to my truth and I'm the truth to his grace. And we've been such good compliments to one another, which, you know, I think is such a good thing to touch on when we're talking about relationships.
Yes.
I'm really grateful that I found someone that has added to my life.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't complete my life because only Jesus can do that.
Yeah.
But he has added such value and he has complimented me in such a godly way. He's able to speak truth that I and call out blind spots that I can't always see, and vice versa. But yeah, vulnerability has been so huge, and it's such an amazing way, you know, to just, yeah, to connect with people, to empathize with people. You know, we serve a God of emotion. Yes. And you know, he gave us emotions. And so those are beautiful and to be embraced, not necessarily to, you know, feelings are not maybe the leaders of our life. Yeah. But they do indicate, you know, some deeper things.
And it's risky.
Yes.
I mean, it's risky to really let someone in that deep. And so like, it's taken us time.
Yeah.
You know, it really like, you got to trust. And I think I'm probably more trusting naturally, but like, it's really risky. And so for anyone listening, it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. And it does take time. You got to trust that person with your heart, with your emotions. Mm. And, but it's like, love, you, if you really want to experience love, you've got to take that risk.
Yeah.
Of getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Of like, of them, yeah, not knowing sometimes how to respond,
yeah,
in the best way.
Sometimes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
That's right. And I love what you guys are saying, because trust is earned, right? Not just simply given. And oftentimes when we approach it through that perspective of, I would rather your presence than your perspective, as Catherine Wolfe, one of our mutual friends, would say, the ministry of tears right before the ministry of truth, that fosters then a level of safety and of trust then for us to express those emotions freely. So that way we can actually, you know, dive in deep into the inner depths of our heart, reveal some of those hurts, reveal some of those hangups, those scripts of the past that may be coming up. And then it only fosters a deeper level of connection, because we only communicate so that way we can further connect. And I also appreciate that idea of feelings are great, you know, indicators. They're horrible dictators, great indicators. I also view them a lot as emotions are invitations. You know what I mean? The more we get to press in, the more we get to know each other, and the more we get to then love each other in the primary love language and ways in which we need and we desire. We need to ask more questions rather than make more assumptions. That's a lesson I've learned in my own marriage, right? And the greatest form of empathy is inquiry. For you guys kind of touched on it, the importance of relationship, the importance of community. I know you guys met in your young adult years, right? One thing I know is that you're incredibly passionate about reaching today's generations, young adults, the next gen. You guys have a lot of great influence in that space, in that sphere. So for you guys, one thing I've noticed, I don't know about you, is that young adults in the next gen, they're incredibly lonely. I mean, and we know this about loneliness. It's kind of the invisible illness of our day and age. And the undiagnosed illnesses are the ones that are always the most dangerous and the most deadly. One of the best definitions I've heard for the word loneliness is from a friend of mine, Justin Whitmell, early, who was on the podcast a couple months back. He said that, in his words, loneliness is someone who used to have friends before they got married, before they got the promotion, before they started, you know, their doctoral program, whatever it is, and then they lost that aspect of community. So what I would love for you guys to speak into, I'll ask you this question, Maddie, to the person out there today who's maybe single, maybe is navigating throughout life. They know that they were made for relationship. They seek relationship. They're asking God for the right person. Maybe they're trying to find, though, somebody to complete them rather than to complement them. What would you say to that person during this waiting season that they can do, not to be passive, but to be active and really be expectant of what God has in store?
Yeah. Man, I love that question. And I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is 1 Corinthians 7. And it talks all about, you know, that cliche phrase that we hear all the time. And I know if you're anything like me, when I was single and I heard it, I rolled my eyes and wanted to punch the person in the face. But it is true that singleness is a gift. And 1 Corinthians 7 talks all about how singleness actually gives us undivided devotion to Jesus. And I love that so much, because it goes on to say, like, the married man is concerned with pleasing his wife. The married woman is concerned with pleasing, you know, her husband. And it's not to, you know, belittle or say that marriage is bad, but it really points to the gift and the goodness of singleness. And I think if we were to be able to shift our perspective to that, almost change like an earthly lens to an eternal focus of, I am here to know God and to be known by him and to make him known to others. And when that's our focus, then it has less to do with what we're not getting, but what we have already access to, and to continue in that. And so for me, I struggled with, you know, singleness and for a long time, especially because I was seeing so many people get married and so many people, you know, be where I wanted to be. And I was frustrated with God. I was like, you know, why are you withholding good from me? Why am I not getting this miracle? Why is this not working out for me? And then it was really easy to take that against myself. You know, there must be something wrong with me. And for me, I just remember having this moment with the Lord, and he just kindly rebuked me, as he does sometimes, and just says, you are looking for the right thing in all the wrong places. You're trying to find what you're looking for in another person, and it can only be found in me. And that was when I realized, Jesus, your love alone is what's going to satisfy me completely and give me what I'm looking for. Not another person can do that. And so that was when I was really able to start building just healthy and holy habits, surrounding myself with godly people. And it really shifted the perspective of single and bitter to single and thriving, and really just, creating, learning contentment in the season that God had me in. Because I think oftentimes it's so easy, you know, that common phrase of the grass is greener on the other side. It's so easy to look at where we're not, but when we neglect where, you know, we currently are, we're missing out on all that God has for us today and right now. And I truly believe, like, singleness, the way that I did singleness and going all in with Jesus, developing healthy habits, you know, pursuing purity, you know, reading my word, developing a strong prayer life, and all of these things, finding my purpose, finding who I am in Christ, those things really helped me and prepared me for marriage. And I am so grateful for that, because if I had not learned just those things, I think it would have, not that you can't learn it in marriage, but I think it would have made marriage even more difficult, you know, coming into it from this place of lack. Like, I don't really know who I am. I don't really have my own hobbies and healthy habits. I don't really know what my purpose is. Then you're almost looking for someone else to give you that. And I'm really grateful that I had come to this place where I was like, Jesus, you alone satisfy, you alone complete me. And even when Grant came into my life, it was like, man, you are an addition, you are a compliment, and you are who I want to, you know, charge the gates of hell, you know, against with. And I knew I wanted to live on mission with him, and I knew he was God's best for my life, but I also knew he still didn't complete me, and that it still took, you know, that relationship with Jesus and him alone to give me ultimately what I'm looking for. And we see that in marriage too. Like, we even each morning, like, we had some mornings early on, I think in marriage, where we were, you know, I would get upset with him because we would wake up and he would want to go off and immediately go read his Bible and go to a coffee shop. And I mean, it sounds great. You're like, Maddie, why wouldn't you want him to do that?
Like, let me spend time with my father. Gosh,
I wanted to wake up and I wanted to make breakfast.
Pancakes.
I wanted to sit down. And I wanted him to tell me how awesome I were. Then we read our Bible together.
I'm like Zach.
And so we had to figure that out early on. And something I realized was like, man, yeah, I'm going to be able to be the wife God's called me to be. He's going to be able to be the husband he's been called to be when we both, you know, get filled up first with the Lord. And when we take that Matthew 6:33 verse very seriously of, hey, we are called to seek first, not Grant, not Maddie, not other people's opinions, but God, and to build on that relationship first. And then we're able to overflow out of that with love towards one another.
Wow, you guys. I mean, what a powerful response just from Maddie right there. Just an understanding the significance of community, the significance of one another, but also understanding that relationship with God. Our vertical relationship is 100 times more important than the horizontal. That doesn't diminish the significance of the horizontal relationship with other people, but only God can complete us. Only God can fulfill us. Only God can satisfy us. When we talk about waiting, right? And that idea of patience, I always like to tell people, don't waste your wait. A lot of people in these waiting seasons, wilderness seasons of life, they're just waiting for God to bring the right person along for them. They end up wasting it. And I think when you look at that understanding, just like you said, Maddie, that waiting is really, at the end of the day, it's an active process, not a passive one. And when you look at the Greek and Hebrew, like, root of the word wait, it actually means to be intertwined with, right? So what that really means in Isaiah 40:31, when it talks about waiting on the Lord to renew our strength, that's about being intertwined with God in the midst of our waiting. That doesn't mean like, God, hey, you know what? I'm praying for the miracle. I'm praying for the guy. I'm praying for the girl. No, that means like, go be an active part of a relationship with God first, and he'll come alongside the way, right? It's amazing just to hear what you guys, the wisdom that you guys have learned in the first year and a half, really, of marriage. That being said, for you guys, as we continually just unpack these things, I could take this conversation in a million different directions, but I've loved where we've gone this far. You guys got called into the gift of marriage, right? It's such a blessing. That's something that we can all probably speak to. I know when I think of my wife, Evelyn, what a gift that she is to me, what a blessing that marriage is. But so many people, you guys, end up seeing the perspective of it becoming a burden in their own lives. So Grant, let me ask you this, my friend, what are some of the things that you really think are culprits that work against love and really end up causing people to lose it, love?
Totally, man. I think you just look at the world.
Yeah.
You look at culture, you look at movies, you look at music, everything is fighting against marriage.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's Satan's number one goal.
That's right.
He's like, I want to tear apart the family.
Yeah.
Because if I can tear apart the family, I can tear apart the children. Mm. And I get to the root of God's heart. And so everything is coming against God's original design in Genesis 2.
Yeah.
And so what you look at, what you listen to, someone told me this, Grant, start your day with truth because the rest of the day, the world is going to send you lies.
Mm.
So start with truth because everything else you see is going to be sending lies your way. Yeah. And so I think people are just literally looking at their parents or looking at their friends' parents and they're going, why would I want that? Mm. And what we've seen is when we entered marriage, we had a lot of people that were just going, man, get ready. All right, get ready. And what we didn't hear was, hey, this is the greatest thing ever.
That's right.
This was God's design. This is actually in Ephesians 5, the mystery between Jesus and his bride, the church. And so what we started to do was like, hey, we're not going to settle for, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's going to take work, but this is beautiful. Mm. And I'm going to work. And what people don't want to do is put in the work. And so I got to learn my wife.
Yeah.
She constantly will come to me and just go, Grant, there are moments where I feel like you don't know me. Because she'll what she'll do is she wants me to order her coffee or her food for her. And if I get it wrong, she's like, do you even
I'm
know
like,
me?
You don't know me.
She's like, you don't love
that
me.
That sounds like Evelyn.
And I'm like, baby. So I like got her the right coffee, but I got it in a to-go cup, not a for-here cup. And she's like.
We're sitting in the coffee
she
shop.
She goes, Grant,
like, for here.
At this coffee shop, I like it for here, not to go. Anyways, man, it's so funny, but I'm like, I want to learn you.
Yeah.
I want to learn you because that's what God calls me to do.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in 1 Peter, live with your wife in an understanding way. Mm. And a very weighty verse is, it's right after that. It says, for the sake of your prayers, live with your wife in an understanding way. And so if I'm not treating Maddie right, yet I'm like, God, I want you to give me strength. I want you to bless. The Lord's like, hey, I've called you to that first. Mm. And I'm not going to answer what else you're saying until you show me like you're going to prioritize her.
Yeah.
And what we have really commissioned our marriage to be is we want people to see our marriage and go, I want the God that they serve.
Yeah.
I want to share the gospel simply by the way that I treat Maddie.
Yeah.
No words, just sacrifice and love. And I believe that like, man, why not me and Maddie? You and Evelyn, why can't we be the examples for people to go, I want a marriage like that.
Mm.
That marriage looks amazing. And I think we can because, I mean, the enemy's going to fight it. But that is why we pray together.
Yeah.
Another thing that we've done to just bring together our marriage is we pray together.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's one of the most powerful things you can do with your spouse to fight the enemy.
Yeah, to pray for your spouse and to pray with your spouse. Like we've really seen the power of prayer. Like when we talk about that 6-month shift, I think communication was a big part of it. Honesty was a big part of it. But I truly think prayer may have been the biggest
prayer.
Part. I mean, prayer, just the power of prayer and him praying over us every single night before we go to sleep. And I have a prayer closet here and every single morning, I mean, I am praying for him from head to toe and just covering our marriage and unity, our intimacy, in all aspects of our marriage. And I've just seen that completely transform like our schedule. Sometimes we have a lot going on, but just finding little moments, even if it's right when he comes home, you know, from work and we have to run off somewhere, but just whether it's taking a quick walk, whether it's, you know, just looking each other in the eyes and smiling and giving one another a compliment, you know, whether it's sometimes just like, we'll be slow dancing in the kitchen, just like something sweet, something silly, something that just shows, hey, I see you. I love you. I'm with you. sometimes those little actions communicate more than words mm-hmm. even can. Mm-hmm. And so that's something we've seen that's mm-hmm. just continued to keep us just so connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good, you guys. And I think those three words that I've shared in several episodes in the past, but it's being intentional with one another. It's investing in your relationship every day, every moment of every day. And then it's taking the initiative, not waiting on each other to do those things, but you being the one to do them. You being the one to plan the date night. You being the one to go get the coffee or go get the flowers, doing something along those lines to make each other understand just how important you really are to one another. Grant and Maddie, you guys, what a blessing today has been. We've dove deep into how we can just be satisfied at the end of the day and who God is, as he's the one that completes us. Tomorrow, I would love it if you guys are free and available to just dive deeper into the blessing and the gift of marriage and how we can just more effectively live, love, and lead together. Would you guys be free and willing to join me again tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
We're in.
Well, my friends, as we close, I think it's safe to say that most of, if not all of us, have heard some form of 1 Corinthians 13, which reminds us that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Yet so many continually lose it, love. Today, I just want to give you guys three words that I believe can help stoke the flame in your love life again. Intentional, investment, and initiative. First, intentional. Some of the best advice I've ever received about love is that what's natural early on needs to be followed by intentional later on to feel natural again. Remember, love is an action, and it takes intentionality to act in a loving way. So be intentional in your relationships today. Number two is investment. The truth of the matter is that if you know anything about investments, sometimes you have to invest for a long period of time before you ever even see the return on investment, if you even do. I know things may seem dark, they may seem gloomy, they may seem dim in your relationship right now, but I encourage you to keep making even small investments into your relationship, because if you do this consistently, I believe you're setting your relationship up for success. Slow down. Put the phone away, plan the date night, dance in the kitchen, do something to invest in your relationship today. And lastly, take the initiative. Stop waiting around and keeping score. I see so many couples compete with one another in their marriages. Well, it's his turn to do this, or she hasn't done that in forever. Remember, you guys, take ownership and responsibility for the love you desire and deserve, because if you don't, nobody will. And a bonus, love is not just something you become good at. Love is someone you become more like. My prayer is that today, as you spend time with the Lord, he would begin to reveal himself in a greater light and in turn teach you how to be a reflection of his love to others. So from all of us here at the AACC, my friends, we hope you have a blessed day. As always, thank you so much for joining us. We love being a part of your life, and we hope to see you right back here next time.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, we pray God's richest blessing on you and your family. Be sure to join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, tell us how we're doing, and maybe ask a question or two, or simply for more information on our resources and upcoming events. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.